thisnetpodcast.com.
Please stand by.
This is the weekend of March 26th. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat, issue number 6.
Hi, listeners. Happy to have you here today.
Yeah, you know, our configuration in here is a little bit different now, Pat. Last week, she asked me after the show, you know, I really want to see each other while we're doing this recording. So I made it happen. Now, the bad thing is,
I see you.
God, can we go back to the old configuration? This is awful.
What if I show you some cleavage?
Yay! Hey, I like this new configuration. Wait, what cleavage? And the other thing is, I got my mic back. So now we're back with the good mics.
Is that your new mic over
there? This is a new mic.
Oh,
it's the old mic.
Really good mic.
Well, no, they're actually both quality, but this mic I'm talking to is a tube mic. But I did want to send out thank you to Marshall, who makes this tube mic. It crapped out on me, I think, 3 issues ago. And I sent it back. This is the second time this dang mic did that. I sent it back, and they said, okay, this has probably been about a year and a half that I had the mic. They, no questions asked, they just said, okay, we're just going to get you a new one.
Now, what you called it a tube mic?
Yeah, it's a tube mic. There's actually a little tube in the microphone itself. And what it does, for podcasting, it doesn't really matter, you know? But for singing, it creates more of a warm sound. Now, the mic that you have does not have a tube, but it has a characteristic that's a little bit more...
spunky?
Yeah, kind of spunky. It's got a it's like 5 to 7K. This is really nerdy stuff. It's got a little bump. And essentially, what it means is, I know. I'll use my mic for vocals on my songs that are kind of slow and need some warmth, maybe a little breathy or something. I'll use your mic when I'm doing
breathy.
Oh, baby. I'll use your mic and pop songs.
Enough about mics.
All right. So anyway, so Marshall was the manufacturer of this, was very good to me. So thank you.
So, okay. Marshall was the name of the company that made it. I thought Marshall was a person.
No.
No. Oh, Marshall.
No.
All right. Fine.
So anyways, the only problem with this new configuration that we've got is we're out in the open. We're not in the studio booth, and you can hear the echo, and I don't like it. As an audio purist, I don't like it.
Big baby.
I know. So we'll see how it transfers down to the final product. I think it'll be fine.
Fine. We can go back to the... to the blue booth if we want to. Do you know what today is?
What is today?
Easter Sunday.
I knew that. I got up this morning. I was looking for eggs, looking for the basket. No, couldn't find anything.
I know.
No one left me anything. When you live alone, no one leaves you anything.
Well, I used to get Easter baskets and Easter candy and stuff like that from my mom. But then after she got the grandkids, she's like... step off, baby.
Step off. That was enough of that, huh?
Enough of that. I don't get anything. I don't even get Valentine's Day candy or cards anymore.
Well, that's your Valentine's Day theme.
Well, wait. On my way over here, I took a long time to get here, Jeff, because every time I passed a church, there was like a gazillion people out there.
You were expecting maybe the Easter Bunny?
I guess this is the day, if you don't go to church very often, this is one of the days that you do go.
Exactly. You go.
Oh, boy. So it took you a long time. A lot of lines for a lot of cars and all that, huh?
Yeah, I thought about trying to see how many people I could run over, but I figured that, you know, I'm already going to hell. That's just going to get me farther down into hell.
The subject was booked under Section 601, in danger of leading an idle, dissolute, or immoral life.
Well, you know, you could have called me and said, hey, I'm going to go to church. I'll be over in an hour later. and then after I caught my breath, I don't know what I would have done. Well, anyways, the big 24-hour news scandal this week was Terry Schiavo. Is that how you say her last name?
Schiavo,
yeah. I don't know what you thought about that, Pat, but again, I go into the lunch/break room at work, and it's just Terry Schiavo, Terry Schiavo that, and got a little exasperating. My only thought on the whole thing was, well, I had a lot of thoughts on it.
But I'm sure.
I know. But one of the thoughts I had is, you know, these parents wanting to keep their kid alive, kind of understand the basic tenet of hope that they have for this thing. But at the same time, I was surprised by the rally outcry that sort of sided with the parents on this. And the reason is, I think it's a dumbing down of the word love. You know, they say they love their child, and I'm not questioning. I know in their own little demented minds, they do love their child.
Well, but I don't think they're demented.
Well, okay.
I mean, maybe it's extreme. In their own mind.
Maybe it's extreme.
It's unkind to say demented.
But I think it's a little bit of a selfish love. I mean, 15 years ago, they sort of decided to define the rest of their lives through their daughter. And I haven't talked to anybody, frankly, that if they were brain dead, would want to be in a vegetable state for 15 years. I mean, you can see 2 or 3 years, maybe something is going to break, something's going to happen. But I don't see it as true love. And that's okay. You know, you have individuals that have different sort of feelings of what love is, and that's understandable. But I guess what got me is the outcry for it. And I think part of it is, you know, religious right people are probably going to hate me, but the religious right, which is an extremely powerful PR wagon, kind of got a hold of it and sort of associated it with some of their issues, and maybe that's, you know, sort of helped to fuel the fire of some of this outcry. But I thought, you know, that's aligning with a kind of a, I don't know, kind of not a true love. And anyway, kind of brought me down a little bit.
Well, it was kind of a downer. It was truly tragic. I mean, I felt really bad thinking too much about it. And that doesn't mean I didn't think about it. I did think about it. But it brings to mind a couple of things to me. Number one, in the New Yorker, which is one of my favorite magazines, they had a story about a soldier who was killed. And
Recently or?
No, this was a while ago. What the story is actually, the soldier died, but this guy, he was a man, he was driving his car when he heard the story, probably on NPR, and I think he started thinking about it, and it was like a year later, he felt still compelled by the story. He decided he wanted to meet the parents of this soldier that had died, and he met the mom and the dad.
Well, let me stop you there. Mm-hmm. What was so compelling about this particular soldier's story? I mean, a lot of soldiers over there have died.
Right. I can't remember. Okay. I can't remember that part of the story. I think he did go into it. He was, you know, the man that's telling the story, who's writing the story, is like a dad or something like that. And so he goes to meet the parents, and wouldn't you know it? Well, the parents, first of all, are divorced, but I'm just pointing that out. The parents were divorced. But the mom felt very much like, my son didn't die for freedom. My son was killed by George Bush.
Dad,
on the other hand, was really proud of his son. The dad was also a military guy, the son was. Yeah. And he was very proud. And evidently, the way the son put down on his paperwork, he identified his first next of kin or whatever as his mother. So she got to decide what the funeral was like.
Oh.
And at the funeral, they made it completely non-military. And then afterwards, the dad did something with another group to make it more military.
Very interesting.
I did think it was interesting. Here are these two people. They both love their son. They both see what happened to him
completely in different ways.
Similarly, on the Terri Schiavo case, when I was surfing around on the internet, I found something that I thought was really interesting. They did have a story of two moms, both that had children who were in persistent vegetative states.
Mm-hmm.
And one mom chose to, after about 2 years or so, she said, you know, it was her son that died, that had a motorcycle accident.
Okay.
And after about 2 or 3 years, she elected to turn off the feeding tube.
And like I said, 2 or 3 years to me sounds pretty reasonable.
Well, but before she did it, she underwent some psychiatric counseling because she wanted to prove to herself she wasn't doing this just to make it convenient for herself.
Great idea.
And she also spoke to all the members of her family. So she just didn't go about it willy-nilly. She
Excellent.
Was very methodical about it. The other mom, this happened to her daughter when she was like 15. It's been, I think, over 30 years. This mom has left the house twice in all of these years. One, to see her older daughter, one of her other daughters get married, and I forget what the other reason was.
Yeah, yeah.
In 30 years, that's all. And she turns her daughter every 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was crying. When I read the story, I was crying. It was so sad. But I think it goes back down to, the bottom line is, it's a personal choice.
It's a personal choice, but I can't help but think who am I to say? I can't help but think it's like a wrong personal choice. Like, I think of Terri Schiavo's parents, and, well, I don't know them. I can't help but think they have made a choice, probably it happened maybe, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago, to define the rest of their lives through this poor woman, daughter.
Yeah.
And even now that she's that I guess she will die soon, I have a suspicion that the rest of their years is going to be sort of, about her and about how they were kind of screwed. And I don't know.
That's
it is a personal choice, and more power to them. But I can't help but think that they made the wrong choice for them. That they could have sort of maybe enjoyed life a little bit more, or caught some other passions or something.
True.
Yeah, who am I to say?
Well, let's talk about something else, because that was kind of a downer.
Let's go cheery.
When I was talking last week with my brother Joe on the phone.
Brother Joe.
On the podcast, whatever. I don't know how it came up. We were talking about the internet and eventually how you get to porn.
Okay.
So he said
to me. It's
a very
short trip.
Yes. That's what he said. He said, I think, you know, he said, Pat, why don't you.
Whether you mean it or not. It's a short trip.
He said, pick a couple topics and see how long it takes you to get to porn.
All right.
Okay, so that's what I decided to do. Now, I picked topics. I picked three topics.
Just a little warning to our listeners. This is our science part of our show. This is a science experiment, and Pat is really into science.
I'm into science. Science girl.
Science girl. Okay. Adventure girl.
So I picked two topics for sure that would have been things during the week that I would have been interested in, and then I specifically picked a topic that I thought I'd be able to get to porn from without being too obvious. Like, I didn't want to use the word sex or panties or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, so I typed in avian flu, and at the top, this was in Google, there were 419,000 results.
All right.
And Jeff, after 30 clicks, I could not get to porn.
Really?
I could not get to porn.
You just kept on scrolling through the windows and no porn came up.
I clicked on flu pandemics, related links to flu pandemics. I got interested in dengue fever. I was looking at the geographic distribution of countries that reported BSE, confirmed cases since 1989. I mean, it was a very interesting thing, and I found out that the countries that have the most reported cases of BSE are France, Ireland, Spain, and Portugal.
Is BSE avian flu?
No.
Is something different? I don't know what BSE is.
Yes, you do. Mad cow disease.
Oh, okay.
So after 30 clicks, I could not get to porn. I did, I think. Oh, yeah. While I was there, I did get into the CDC,
database?
No, into their job opportunities. So I did start looking for jobs at the CDC. I could be a statistician for the CDC.
That'd be very cool.
I'd have to make less money than I make now, which doesn't make me happy. They'd probably make me, you know, do really hard things too.
Probably would.
Okay, the second thing I looked up was the keywords were Mount Everest disaster, because I'm reading a book about Mount Everest.
All right.
And after 25, it brought up 93,600 hits. And after 25 clicks, I could not get to porn. I gave up. Then I picked Boy Scouts, because I'm thinking, boy, that's going to get me to
that's
porn somehow.
Get there, yeah.
It brought out close to 1.7 million references, and within four clicks, I was at religion.
Wow.
And Saving Terry Schiavo. And I think on the fifth or the sixth click, I got to the war on pornography. Now, I don't think that counts, because that's
right.
Not pornography.
Sounds like it's more intellectual than that. Now, I guess Boy Scouts got you to a religious topic, because I guess I did remember reading this someplace that Boy Scouts is actually a religious organization, or at least it started that way.
I know. I realized that.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I still thought eventually I'd get to porn. I gave up after 16 clicks, because I could tell there was no way I was getting to porn.
Well, I feel better about the internet.
Right. So I did get to, let's see, about the 10th one. Oh, yeah. About the 10th one, I got to, the 16th one, I got to Dear George, which is a place where you could write letters to the president.
Okay.
And, you know, I definitely stopped at that point.
It's sort of interesting that we talk about pornography, because one of the thoughts I had this week was comparing, this is going to sound awful, please bear with me, God casting with pornography. Sounds like a weird pairing, right?
That is a weird pairing. Please tell me more.
Well, you know what God casting is. God casting is sort of
podcasting about God?
Exactly.
And like the Catholic Insider?
Mm-hmm, like the Catholic Insider, which is, I haven't listened to it yet, but I've had really good things about it. The reason I'm comparing the two is because I think in the internet world, pornography has been and truly continues to be the leading edge killer application. Leading edge in terms of technology implementation, leading edge in terms of popularity, leading edge in terms of financial models and business models. Okay? It's just been out there. I think that God casting, and I read an article about this someplace this week, God casting, which is completely 180 degrees away from pornography, But Godcasting is a little bit having the same kind of influence on podcasting. Godcasting is extremely popular. It's getting a message out to that apparently lots and lots of people want to hear and lots of people want to share and broadcast about their feelings. Every angle, every religion, and Godcasting, I guess it's mostly Christian religions, every angle, but not only sort of more formal sermons, but also people's personal testimonials to this. Mm-hmm. And there's a real big audience to it, and it's really taken off. And so the thought hit me to be outrageous and compare it to pornography, but I don't think it's too far away in terms of sort of what is out there pushing the rest of the podcasters in terms of popularity.
Well, I think you have a good point there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the thing about it, though, is despite the fact that there are still people, I mean, there's Christian literature and Christian music, I think there's still a lot of Christians that watch Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you know what I think we should be? We should be Desperate Podcasters.
Should have been our URL, desperatepodcasters.com.
No, that's not my... I think that here's what I want to do. I want to meet, another podcasting couple, and then, I want to find a really cute podcasting guy, and I want to go podcast with him, and you can go podcast with her. I don't care who she is.
We can be podcasting swingers.
I want to be a podcasting swinger.
Would we do that this virtually or in real time?
We could do it either way.
There
we
you
could
go.
Start out virtually, and then if there's a real connection.
I can't believe you'd podcast with anybody but me. I'm so offended and jealous.
Well,
have you been fantasizing about podcasting with someone else?
I have been. I have somebody in mind. I'm not going to tell you who it is on the air. I want to podcast with David Brancaccio. He's not a podcaster.
I don't think he's
though.
A podcaster
he's
yet,
not.
But all those Gunpr guys will be. I'm sure soon. Well, do you want to go to our song, Pat?
Sure, why not?
Okay, Pat and I recorded this...
really great.
really great, great rap song that we sort of picked out a couple days ago. And because rap is basically Pat and I's, favorite music. I mean, we're just...
I think it's Pat and Mai.
Pat and Mai. we're listening to rap probably, I don't know, how many hours a day, Pat?
Well, whenever I'm not at work...
Yeah.
So that would be, 10 minus 14 hours. Even during my sleep, I listen to rap.
No, actually, we know very little about rap.
But I
put this thing together, and Pat threw in some words as well. And here it is. My name is Jeff, I got a beat to share with you. I got a rhyme that's kinda lame, but I got nothing else to do. A podcast at my microphone, I got so much to tell. I know you're gonna like it, so check out my XML.
This is Pat on the side, and there are rules that I dislike. Like Jeff makes me talk to you 6 inches from the mic. Some say I'm outspoken, some say that I'm a reb. I say outrageous things and put my panties on the web.
There is shizzle in my nizzle, and I don't mean to boast, but I got freaky on our podcast when I talk with Terry Gross. I'm a white guy who can break it, I can shake it, cause I know you vote for us in Podcast Alley. Check it, yo.
If Brett Pitts are listening, we're out of here by 7. I'll meet him at the coffee bar inside 7-Eleven. I know he's over 40, but that does not repel unless he listens to my rhymes from Home Alone with Belle again.
That's it, yo.
Okay. you sound so much better on that song than I do, Jeff. I suck.
Well, the next thing on the bat is I have been listening to some podcasts. I've been consciously trying to get away from the favorite ones that I always listen to. I always end up listening to Adam Curry and The Daily Download, Chris Rockwell, and Viva Podcast. By the way, Greg and Lisa sent a wonderful, very, very nice comment to our website. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, especially coming from you guys, because I just love your podcast so much. I think Pat's getting a little bored with my mentions about Viva Podcast, because I've listed it on...
I think you want to swing with Lisa.
There you go.
That's what it is.
No, I wouldn't do that to Greg. But I still like Lisa's voice.
Although, you know, I like Greg's voice, too. I think he sounds good.
Absolutely. They both have great radio presence. It's one of my favorites. But, you know, I do have limited time to listen to podcasts, and so I'm trying to vary my routine a bit. So I did want to comment on a few podcasts that I've been listening to lately, and I think you've listened to some of these too. Dan Klass's Bitterest Pill. I think...
I'm more bitter than he is.
You are, definitely. You should be the bitterest pill. The bitterer
the
pill.
Way more bitterest
the pill. The way more bitterest pill. Anyways, of all I've heard so far, and I've, you know, heard a fair bit of podcasts, I think he is the absolute most talented at doing the monologue thing. I think he's funny. I think he tells a great story. And I haven't heard anybody do the monologue thing better.
Well,
you disagree.
I think he's a good storyteller, mm-hmm. but I guess maybe the deal is it's too much kid crap. I'm not that interested. Like, you know, he talked, we're going to have the Hudson thing.
Was my next comment.
I would have shot my head off before I listened to that.
Some of this, yeah. In fact, that show I didn't listen to, the Hudson. I didn't go there. But no, I agree. The subject matter is not as interesting to me as a single guy with no kids. But I still find, I think last week he did a people have stick shift family or
stick figure
families on their minivans.
I heard that was one.
Hilarious. So I've been enjoying that. I listened to Air Ferg, and I think they're really good too. But it was really kind of funny because they had, I listened to three or four of their shows, and they had three bits that they didn't quite work for me, but they almost did. And in similar ways, which I thought was interesting, they would take a funny premise and then try to add funny to it. But because the original premise was so funny, what they added wasn't as funny. And I'll give you an example of that. For St. Patrick's Day, they took these limericks that were very funny limericks, and they tried to make each other guess the last line. Well, it was impossible to guess the last line, and in the guessing process, not that funny. But the limericks were funny.
That's too bad. I have a limerick that I made up when I was like 22 or 23, when I was going out with a guy who was going out with another girl. And I wrote this limerick about it, and I can't remember the last line.
Oh, so. See. That would be good. That would make a good bit to guess. Anyways, it was a good premise, but I didn't like the way they sort of finished it. The other case was... she was giving him a test on their love or something like that. Relationship test. Well, the test itself was a joke test. And so every response is, you know, the multiple mm-hmm. choice question, mm-hmm. they were funny responses. So it was just fun to go. It was funny to go through the test, but then he had to pick one and they totaled it at the end. And that wasn't funny at all. So, and then there was a third bit, something similar. So they took this funny premise and they didn't finish it well. So I think they've got a lot of potential because I really like their radio presence and their voices and their personalities. And I think, I'm looking forward to continuing to listen to them a little bit more. What have you been listening to this week that's new?
Well, I actually listened to a show called sexgeeks.com. I don't know. Or maybe Sex Geeks.
I haven't heard that one.
I really liked them. Her name is Lindsay. His name is Rob. They are, you know, they're like us. They seem kind of geeky.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about sex.
I'm not geeky.
They talk about sex in a calm fashion, but they're not pushovers, you know.
Right.
I think now this is going to be graphic, so if you don't want to hear anything graphic, plug your ears. Or maybe Jeff,
you
can
go.
Beep this out. But they were talking about, they were talking about fucking machines.
Oh, boy. I've seen like a video or something.
Oh, you have?
Not a video. I think it was HBO Real Sex. They had one of those machines on it.
Well, you know.
The stupidest freaking looking thing I ever saw.
Exactly. And what I thought was kind of interesting is the guy kind of is just talking about it. But Lindsay, she's not reacting. Like, I think I'm more emotional about my reaction. I would have been like, oh, that's so gross. But she just basically said in a very kind of calm voice, you know, what's great about that? It would be my worst nightmare, you know. Imagine being with a guy who all he thinks he has to do is the bangity, bangity, bangity.
You mean there's more?
There's So I thought that was a really great show.
Oh, cool. I'll have to give that one a listen. I did, you know, I'm not really a big music podcast listen to, but I did want to talk about three that I listened to this week. And it's mostly when I'm listening in the car, it's got to be, I like to hear people talk. But when I'm at work, I'll have some music in the background. Insomnia Radio, just that is the killer app to me. It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, the guy's personality is great. He doesn't come across. Sometimes when you're playing independent music, you can make it sound like, well, you know, if you're not in my independent club, you don't know anything. I'm the god. He's really great. He just appeals to everybody. He kind of explains a little bit of the band, but not too much. It's that perfect balance. Hmm. And he finds a really good selection. So I love that. In the top 10 on a podcast alley, there's Superburst Mixtape. I listened to that. It was just too bizarre for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't care for it too much. And of course, there's always a standby Coverville, which is, you know, I really dig Coverville. I think it's good, but sometimes you just don't want to hear a cover. You know, so props go to Insomnia Radio. Next week, I will be trying out Jawbone, PK&J, who wrote a very nice comment to our website, yeah. And really appreciate that. And I have to say, I haven't heard you yet. So, and then Croncast. I haven't listened to any of those three yet. So I'm anxious to hear those.
Well, I've listened to Croncast. Excuse me. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they've gotten great ratings. I hear good things about them. So I'm kind of looking forward to hearing them. What's that sound?
It's time to get to know you.
It's time to get to know me?
No, me.
Me. Pat wins.
I win. Yay.
All right. Let's get to know you.
Well, actually, I think probably by now, if you haven't figured it out, I'm a huge NPR radio lover. Well, just to show you how much of a fanatic I am, I have two Bose Wave radios at home. Every single channel is programmed to 90.1, which is our local NPR station. And every channel in my car is programmed to 90.1. It's the only thing I listen to.
Ever since I started listening to podcasts, I listened to less and less NPR, but that used to be my main. It was either NPR or here in Dallas, we have The Ticket, which is the AM sports station. And I always listen to that during Cowboys season.
And to make life better for me, I bought one of those Radio Sharks just so I could listen to Weekend Edition on Sunday, Studio 360, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and, of course, the best show in all of the world, This American Life. Those get taped every Sunday, and I put them in my iPod, and I listen to them during the week, and I'm as happy as can be.
Fantastic. So there you go. Is an NPR goddess.
Well, what about you, Jeff? Tell me more about you. Or tell our listeners.
I was going to say, telling you. You know. Well, you know most things. You don't know all my... You don't know about my blow-up dolls in the closet. Wait, did I just say that on the air? I'll fix that in
post.
Hey,
for $6,000, you can buy a living doll.
A living doll? It takes a living doll.
Oh, my God. I'll show you later on the internet.
Oh, God.
It's too freaking scary. There are
too many weird things. Well, I was going to express my love for the Java bean. You know, I love coffee. I love Starbucks. Even though I know in theory there's better beans out there, I make my own Starbucks. Well, big deal. I make it. I don't grow it. I buy my Starbucks whole bean. I grind it here, and then I'll make a batch of it, and I'll bring it into work, actually, in a thermos, because I don't like the work coffee.
I don't think anybody calls it a batch. I make a batch of coffee.
When I make coffee, baby, it's a batch of coffee. But I've been getting too much caffeine lately, so now I make a half-and-half blend. My favorite coffee is the Sumatra. And I bought myself for Christmas a really cool espresso maker. It's called a Nespresso. What's so funny about that?
I'm just laughing because
I love my espresso maker.
I know, but Susan told me the other day when she came to visit you, you were making a big to-do about making an espresso for her because they cost 50 cents.
They do. They're the most expensive. I was just joking with her, but they are. It is this system, the Nespresso, uses pods. But it's not the standard.
Are they iPods?
I know.
Podcasting?
We are a pod world, man. But there's also a kind of espresso makers that make that use pods, but it's more of like a standardized pod, like an open system pod, if you will, you know? Nespresso's do not have open system pods, so as a result, they're the most expensive proprietary pod that you can buy. But at the same time...
It's a proprietary pod.
It's a proprietary pod. PP. But at the same time, it's the best espresso. It's like super, super simple to make. You just basically press a couple buttons, and you don't have to grind. You don't have to tap, and it makes perfect espresso every time. You can buy all kinds of flavors, and you can also have decaf. So that's a little bit about me. I'm always kind of exploring different coffee options. And to get to this Nespresso machine, I have bought every type of espresso maker from the Italian stovetop.
Thing. You're talking about the...
What do they call those? Your grandmother has those, right? Your mom has them, yeah. All that to like the $50, $100, you know, Krups espresso maker, which, you know, kind of sucks. Anyways, I've been through all the varieties. I love coffee. Anyway, that is getting to know you. My mom did phone in. I've got a little blurb from Rock Island.
Back here in Jeff's hometown of Rock Island, we're waiting for spring. Once in a while there's a glimpse of a blue sky and there's little greenery peeping out of the ground, but we pretty much have to be satisfied with looking at the swirling colors of Van Gogh's sunflowers. Jeff's dad and I got a whole set of books called The Great Artists. It's actually a supermarket series, sold in the supermarkets apparently in the late 70s, but it was a republication of something published in Italy in the 60s. There's 23 books that we have, and it features lots of artists, all the ones you know, from Van Gogh and Rembrandt to Raphael and Vermeer. They're surprisingly good quality. Each book, large format, has at least a dozen full-color pictures, some even foldouts, as well as a history of the artist. So while we're waiting for spring, we'll have to be content with the sunflowers, or the gardens of Monet, or the tropic isles of who else? Gauguin. Talk to you next week, when maybe we'll have some crocuses in bloom.
Your mom is such a trip, Jeff.
I know. I think she wants to be. I think she has a closet desire to be a podcaster herself.
She could be the podcasting mom.
Hey, that'd be cool.
Your mom's a pretty interesting woman. I remember, you know, we've met her a couple of times here. I always forget what she did.
She used to be a chemist.
A chemist?
Yeah, believe it or not. She used to work at Armor Labs up in Chicago. I don't even know what she was doing research on, but I mean, pretty heavy duty into it. You
and
know?
Your dad is a school teacher.
Yeah, English teacher. Communications and... English studies and...
You're a nerd, Jeff.
It's a crazy combination.
You had it in your genes.
So I had mom, I had this technical side, and my dad, I had this very creative side. Two sisters that were also very creative. I sort of got more of the tech side, I think, but a little bit of creativity. I mean, who could do a rap song without having a little bit of creativity?
Well, I helped.
You did help. Well, Pat, we don't have a lot of time left, but we got a minute. You know what minute?
I think it's the Dallas Minute.
Woohoo!
Well, my Dallas Minute is also going to be related to me, because...
Getting to know you. Wait, it's a different segment.
I just finished telling you that my favorite radio station was NPR. But here in Dallas, we have a great radio show that comes from KERA. I don't know if people know this, but most NPR stations, they buy shows from, I don't know, the big companies. So if you get Morning Edition or This American Life or Studio 360, you buy it from somebody.
Those aren't done in Dallas?
Correct. They're not done in Dallas. But something that is done in Dallas is the Glenn Mitchell Show.
Oh, that's right.
Daily, I think from noon to two. Glenn Mitchell is like the Renaissance man. Well, I was so excited after I read a little biography about him after he'd been here for a couple of months, and I thought, ooh, I am going to go down to NPR. I'm going to go down to KERA, and I'm going to meet him. I'm going to make him love me. But he's married.
Oh, he is married.
Damn it.
Well,
men I want are married.
I'm at work when he's doing his thing. I don't have the Radio Shark, fancy Radio Shark that you have, so I don't really get to listen to him. But every now and then I will hear him on Fridays. Doing his, the listeners will call, and I love that.
They'll call
in with questions, and other, you know, he won't know the answers to most of them, but other listeners will call in with answers and other questions, and the whole thing just keeps going, and it's a whole 2 hours of trivia stuff that you never thought you needed to know, but it's interesting.
Like, why is there daylight savings time?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to talk about something that I do in Dallas about every 3 weeks on Sunday mornings, and it's not going to church, but I go to something called Talk Cinema. And Pat, you went with me one time.
All right, I did.
But I wanted to tell the listeners, I love Talk Cinema. It's a little bit of an inconvenient time because they try to do it when a movie theater is not being used. The premise is they show you every 3 weeks on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, they show you an independent movie. And you don't know what it is going to be going in. So you have no idea, which some people don't like our friend Susan, just really doesn't like that concept. She wants to be a little prepared. I love it because I love independent movies.
You love surprises.
Well, I love independent movies, and this forces you to just see everything. And you also see these movies about, typically average about 2 months before anybody else sees them.
So what was the last movie?
Kind of got a leg up. The very last one was Look at Me, which was a French movie. And it was really, really good and interesting. And again, maybe I wouldn't have gone if it was advertised. But so far this season, there's about 7 per season. Just want to give you an idea what they show. So far this season, we've seen Look at Me, Nobody Knows, which is a Japanese movie about these kids that are left alone in Tokyo. Excellent. Kung Fu Hustle, which just came out this weekend. We saw that a couple months ago. Kung Fu Hustle is great. It's really fun.
Everybody was Kung Fu Hustling.
I love that song. And then we saw In Good Company as well. Last season, I think you went with us last season, one of the movies they showed was Primer.
Yeah. That was
the
good
one done in Dallas, and they had Shane Carruth in attendance. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, they always have a reviewer or some personality after the show, and the whole audience has a conversation about the movie. Now, they don't get, like, the directors or anything, unfortunately, but they would normally have local reviewers. Robert Wolanski and Chris Wagner, I think it is, have been there a few times. Last season, they also showed Sideways. Sideways is a runaway hit. I saw that 2 months before anybody else did. I Love Huckabees. Rodney, I can't remember the name of the movie, a documentary about the famous L.A. DJ. Osama, Cooler, Triplets of Belleville, Merchant of Venice. I could go on. Anyways, there's about 7 per season. It shows they have 3 seasons a year, I think, and it typically runs every 3 weeks on Sundays. I highly recommend it. If you want to meet me, come to Talk Cinemas on Sundays.
Will you be
I'll
the
be
tall,
there.
Good-looking guy?
I'll be the tall, ugly one.
But you'll be drinking coffee.
I'll be drinking coffee. I'll have my little Starbucks mug, and I'll be tall. So just come up and say hi. And that, I believe, is the Dallas Minute.
Well, anyway.
Anyways. Hey, you know, we are really running out of time. So I did want to make a couple announcements. Everybody that's listening at 3 Architecture, thanks. Our URL is www.thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or you can call us on our audio line at 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-5288.
And that's going to do the show today.
I've had fun, Jeff.
I've had fun, too. What's happening next week?
Well, next week, I'm going to do the New Yorker issue review.
All right. Well, that sounds fun. I guess we're heading over to Susan's for a little bit of Easter brunch.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll see you all later from Dallas, Texas. It was great having you listen to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, and don't forget, my love for the Java bean. And you don't have to grind. You don't have to tap.
All he thinks he has to do is the bangity, bangity, bangity.
You mean there's more?
The bangity, bangity, bangity.